Second Chronicles chapter 20. Hallelujah. Boy, I've got so many verses to read tonight. We're going to have to do something. There's 37 verses in this chapter, and we need to cut it down just a little bit. So we're going to just kind of skip around a little bit. So if you just follow with us in these with these verses tonight. Amen. How many of you tonight are dealing with a problem? Dealing with a problem. So how do you know you're dealing with a problem? Well, number one, has it caused you added stress? Have you felt stressed or pressured by this problem today? That's a problem. Does it occupy your thoughts throughout the day? Throughout the day, your mind continues to wander back to this problem. That's a problem. That's a problem. Those are the kinds that persist, that it seems like it's hard to get free from. And if you're not careful, you can suffer from a stress fracture. Stress fracture. I was reading about a stress fracture. It occurs when forces are much lower. Now, when you fracture a bone, usually it's caused by an acute event, such as a car crash, a fall, or something like that. But in a stress fracture, the forces are much lower, but it happens repeated times over and over and over for a long period of time. These injuries are known also as fatigue fractures, because the bone over time becomes weary and then begins to fracture. Stress fractures are seen in athletes who increase their level of activity over a short period of time. So these sometimes what happens is, because the same problem over and over and over and over, never getting any relief or rest from that problem, creates stress in our life, which stress can lead to maybe not a bone fracture, but fractures in our life in other places, whether it be spiritually, emotionally, or in our family. The best treatment for a stress fracture is to rest. Just rest. They say if you are experiencing a stress fracture, if you're an athlete, you need to quit. You need to just quit running, jogging, whatever it is that your exercise is. You need to stop it. You need to rest. You need to give that bone time to heal, time to recover and to regain its strength. And that's sometimes what we need, is we need to find a place where we can rest, have rest from the problem that is overwhelming us, find rest from the problem that is continually pounding against us, so that when we find that rest, we can regain our strength. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, Jehoshaphat is the king of Judah. He's a good king. And in 19 and 4, it says there in 19, chapter 19, verse 4, it says, "And he brought them back unto the Lord God of their fathers." Jehoshaphat brought revival back to the land of Judah. Jehoshaphat restored them once again and was leading them in the right direction. They were doing what was right. You understand? Doing what was right. He was a good king. He was trying to please the Lord. He is reinstituting some of the worship in the temple and trying to bring them back from idolatry. Jehoshaphat was doing that which was good. But in chapter 20, we find that now there's a problem that arises. In verse 2, it says, "Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, There cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria. And behold, they be in Hazan Tamar, which is in Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah." Here's a problem. Here's a problem. He's got a number of people coming down on him. Moabites, Ammonites. He's got this group of these three armies that have joined themselves together, created a league among themselves to come down and destroy Jehoshaphat. Let me tell you what. Anointing attracts an attack. Do you know that? When you're doing right, it will attract an attack. Seems like every time you try to do what's good, it's going to attract an attack. And it'll come on you when you're trying to do the best you can. Joseph, he attracted an attack. Job, perfect man, upright man, he attracted an attack. Whenever you're trying to do the best you can count on it, amen, that you are going to attract the attention of the enemy to attack your life. Daniel praying 3 times a day. Let me tell you what, that's not gonna cut it with the devil. He's gonna do his best to attack you, to keep you from doing that. So Jehoshaphat, in doing good, has attracted the attention of the enemy. He did not go out and provoke these people. He did not go out and try to stir something up with them. But while he was trying to do good and within his own borders, the enemy comes in on him and attacks him. And it seems like that's the way it is in all of our lives. When we are trying to do good, we're not out there provoking the enemy. We're not out there, you know, giving them flying raspberries or something, you know, that kind of stuff. We're not doing that. We're just out there trying to do what's right. And the enemy comes against us and attacks us, right? Notice what he says here. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court. And this is what he prayed and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thy hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou, O God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before the people Israel, and gavest to the seed of Abraham thy friend forever? And they dwelt therein, and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, If when evil cometh upon us at the sword, as the sword, judgment or pestilence or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. And now behold the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come and cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company and that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. Amen. They all, the whole nation, begin to pray and cry out to God and pray and seek the Lord. Amen. God hears us when we pray and when we have our problem, right? Amen. If you might want to just keep your Bible open, because there's a number of verses that we need to look at this evening. But problems are going to happen in our life, and we get all stressed out over the problems. Jehoshaphat was facing the greatest problem of his reign as king of Judah. He had never experienced anything like this. And it's not just that when a problem comes, but sometimes problems seem to gang up on you. You know that? That was his problem. It wasn't just that the Edomites, the Moabites had come out against him, but also the Ammonites and those of Mount Seir. All these, they were ganging up on him to come and to create havoc in his life and to create affliction for him. So he's greatly disturbed. The children of Israel are greatly disturbed because he realizes in verse 12, we have no might. We neither know we what to do. Our eyes are upon thee. What he's saying is, you know what? We don't have the strength to defeat these people. We don't have the ability to overcome this problem. We don't know what to do. You ever been there? We don't know what to do, Lord. We don't know what the answer is, and we don't know where to turn. All we know is that we have a problem. We have a problem, and we need God to help us. What is the thing that Jehoshaphat does, amen, when he's faced with the problem? He goes to prayer. Amen. Amen. He goes to prayer. His prayer was fairly simple in the fact that he started his prayer off by giving praise to God and acknowledging the Lord and giving glory to God. You know, sometimes when we pray, we want to automatically focus on our problem. We want to automatically focus on what it is that is burdening our heart and that is overwhelming us. But when you go to prayer, it's always good to start with praise. Always good to start by worshiping the Lord and giving glory to God. Lift up the name of the Lord. Brag on God a little bit. Talk about the things that he's done in the past. Talk about his mighty power. Talk about his sovereignty. You know, not only are you praising him, but while you're praising God, you're reminding yourself that he is a sovereign God and there is none above him. And while you're praising him, you're reminding yourself that he's an all-powerful God and he has the power to do anything that he will. And while you're praising God, amen, you're also reminding yourself, amen, all of the things that God has done for you in the past. Amen. And that's what Jehoshaphat was doing as he began to pray and seek the Lord. He started out by praising God and giving God the glory. When trouble comes, give God praise. I know that sounds silly, but when trouble comes, start by praying and praising. Amen. Start by praying and praising, and you may find that God has an answer for you. Amen. The children of Judah, they begin to pray together. There's a few things I want to point out to you. Amen. First of all, when he prayed, he praised God. Then also he reminded God of his promise to the children of Israel. He reminded God that, God, you have promised us that when the sword and with judgment and with pestilence and when famine would come upon us, if we would stand before your house, if we would stand before the presence of God and stand in thy presence, amen, and cry unto thee in our affliction, that you would hear us and you would help us. That is a promise of God. Amen. If we would call out on the name of the Lord in our time of trouble, he would answer us. Not only are we reminding God of his promise, but it's good to remind ourselves of God's promise and remember that God has promised that he would be there for us in the time of our affliction, in the time of our problem, in the time of our trouble. Call upon the name of the Lord. Remind him of his promise. Amen. Remember, admit to the fact that you don't have the strength to do it on your own. Lord, we don't have the might. Lord, we know not what to do. Admit the fact, admit your frailties. Admit your weaknesses. You come on, you're talking to God, it's all right. Amen, if you lower your guard down a little bit and admit the fact that, Lord, I don't know what to do. Lord, I don't know what to do. I've thought of everything and I don't know what to do. It never hurts to just look to God and say, Lord, I don't have the strength to deal with this. I don't have the strength to deal with it. Now, come on. You say, well, that's a sign of weakness. Let me tell you, when you've got a problem and you realize, Lord, I'm at my wit's end, and you have to admit, Lord, I don't know what to do, and I don't have the strength to deal with it. That's when God can help you out. That's when God can help you out. Pray to the Lord God. And while you're praying, amen, acknowledge your weakness in your own life. Acknowledge that you need God. What's the Bible tell us? When I am weak, then I am made strong. Because when we realize our weakness, amen, that's when we rely on the strength of God. There's a little boy that had a big rock out in the middle of his sandbox. And he went out there and he was trying to get it to move and trying to get it out of his sandbox. And he couldn't do it. He called to his dad and said, Dad, I need this. This rock is in my sandbox. His dad said, use all of your might. Use all of your strength and you can get it out of there. That boy worked at it and pushed at it and tried to lift it. He could never get it out of his sandbox. He said, Dad, I've done all that I can. I've given all my strength. I've given all my strength. He said, no, you haven't. Yes, I have. He said, no, you haven't because you've not asked me to help you with it yet. Sometimes we need to realize that the greatest source of our strength is our Heavenly Father. Amen. And pray to him and call out to him in our time of problem. Amen. Pray. There is a power in prayer. There is a power in prayer when you seek the Lord and when you call out to the Lord, God will hear you. Yes, he God will hear you. When you pray, hey man, wait for God to respond. Wait for God to respond. When he prayed, when he got done praying here, and all Judah stood before the Lord, then in verse 14, then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattiah, the Levite, the son of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. God came on an individual, amen, that was there, and the Holy Spirit came upon him and anointed him. Amen. Do you know what? Sometimes we need to wait for God to respond to us. And sometimes God don't respond through an audible voice, but sometimes God responds by the Spirit of God moving upon somebody else. Spirit of God moves on somebody in a testimony. Spirit of God moves on somebody in a song. Spirit of God moves on somebody in a message. Spirit of God moves in the speaking in tongues and the interpretation of tongues. Listen and wait for God to respond. God, it takes joy in talking to you. God is not ignoring us. God don't just go on and do his own thing, but God wants to speak to your heart. Wait for God to respond. Sometimes we get in a hurry and we've prayed about the problem and now we're ready to do whatever we have to do. Wait and let God respond to you. Be patient and wait on the Lord, amen, and let him work in your life. Sometimes we never wait for God to respond. Wait for the Lord to respond, amen, and he'll meet your need. The Spirit of the Lord came upon this man. And he began to prophesy. And he says, hearken ye, all Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou, King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid, nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Hallelujah. Amen. The battle is not yours, but God. Wait to hear what God has to say. Well, what's God have to say? The battle is not yours, but God's. Now, hold on a minute. This enemy's coming against me. This enemy's coming to destroy us. They're going to be killing our soldiers. This enemy's coming against us. But when you prayed, you gave it to God. When you prayed, it became the Lord's battle, not yours. Amen. When you commit things to God, rely on the fact that now it is God's. Amen. The battle is not yours, but God's. Can you imagine right now? Think about it. It's not yours. It's God's. The problem is not yours anymore. It's God's. So what are we worried about? Don't fear. Don't be dismayed because it's not your problem. Hallelujah. I love those words. Not my problem. For 9 years in Southern Ohio, was youth director of the Southern Ohio Youth Camp. For 9 years, it was my problem. But after that, on the 10th year, when that burden was lifted, and I went to youth camp for that year, and there would be people that come up and say, Brother Brim, and I say, it's not my problem. Go talk to, because it's not my problem. Hallelujah. Do you hear me? It's not my problem anymore. Man, isn't that a great feeling? Man, it's not my problem. Man, I don't have to worry about it anymore. But everybody, this is all falling apart. It's not my problem. Amen. I'm not staying up at night worrying about it because it's not my problem anymore. The battle is not yours, but God's. Amen. Why can we not just take hope in that and realize the battle is not ours? It's God's. It's God's. Amen. It's not God's financial distress. I mean, it's not my financial distress. It's God's. Amen. I don't need to worry about it. I'm going to let God worry about it. Amen. And he owns the cattle on a thousand hill. Amen. God has everything in his control. He can take care of it. The battle is not yours. It's God's. Amen. You're not in control of the situation. But God is in control. And the problem belongs to the Lord. The battle is not yours. Hey man, why are you fearing now? Why are you afraid now? Why do we worry? Why are we dismayed? Come on, wipe the frown off your face and wipe a smile back on, because it's not your problem. Say, oh yes it is, Brother Brim, it's my problem. Not when you've given it to God. When you've committed it to the Lord, amen, it's God. Amen. Is that not the case? Does he not say, cast all your care upon me? Does he not tell us, amen, that we can cast all of our troubles and all of our cares, all of our worries upon him? Amen. It's his problem today. It's not my problem. Amen. If I'm obedient to God, amen, he's going to take care of it. Amen. The battle is not yours, but God's. Oh, I wished I could somehow get that little phrase, amen, beat into your head today. It's not your problem. It's not your problem. Amen. Then he begins to tell them what they need to do and how they need to go about it. He said, ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Can you look at that? Verse 17. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Now hold on. What do you mean? We're not going to have to fight. Surely there's something that we need to do. Surely we need to sharpen our swords. Surely we need to get out our spears. Surely we need to do something. The Lord says, you are not going to have to fight in this battle. Why is that? Because the battle is not yours. It's the Lord's. Amen. The Lord don't, you listen, the Lord don't need you to fight his battles. The Lord don't need you in order to get victory. The Lord don't need your help in order to bring about the victory. Amen. I know we want to assist. I know we want to consult. But God said, you're not going to need to fight. Hallelujah. Now this is an act of faith on their part, because the army is still coming. The army is still coming towards them. And the Lord says, you don't need to fight in this battle. Stand. Stand ye still. And see the salvation of the Lord. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Amen. Have you ever tried to get a 2-year-old to stand still? Yeah. Try to get Zach, amen, to sit down and have a conversation with you. Time to say, stand still. He don't understand what that means. You know, his little feet want to run. His little arms want to move. He wants to get going. He don't want to stand still. Sometimes we're like 2-year-olds. You know that? Amen. Because the Lord says, stand still. Stand still. And we're trying to do everything we can to help. And the Lord says, stand still. All you need to do is stand still and see. Amen. And see the salvation of the Lord. Amen. You're going to be amazed at how God moves. You're going to be amazed at what God does. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Amen. That's powerful. There are so many great things in this chapter right here. Dealing with our problem and dealing with our affliction. Amen. I want you to know, now the battle is not won. They've heard from the Lord, but in verse 18, Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Do you know you can praise God before you've even won the victory? Amen. You can praise God before you've even won the victory. Amen. When the Lord says, don't worry about it. Amen. It's not your problem anymore. Amen. You don't even, all you need to do is stand still. Amen. You're not even going to have to fight. Amen. It sounds to me like he's lifted a burden off of you. Amen. The problem that you're facing right now. Amen. He wants to lift it off of you. Amen. And say, hey, it's not your problem anymore. It's not for you to worry about. Don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. Amen. Stand still. See the salvation of the Lord. Amen. That sounds like you should have some freedom to worship God. But wait, we still got the enemy. We still got a problem. The problem's still there. But wait. Amen. God's going to take care of the problem. You can worship the Lord. Right? Amen. Oh, look at this. Look how God does this. Amen. The next day they go out into battle. They go out to meet this army, this host that's marching towards them. The Bible says in verse 22, and when they begin to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. Notice in verse 23, in the last phrase, everyone helped to destroy another. Amen. What happened was they started fighting each other. They started warring among themselves until they killed every one of them. Hallelujah. Amen. God moved on them while they were praising God. The Lord made them turn on each other. Amen. The Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir. Amen. While they were praising God, amen, and giving God the glory, God started fighting the battle for them. They never had to stop and draw their sword. They never had to take out a spear. And the Bible says that every one of their enemy was destroyed. Every one of them was destroyed. They each smote the other. Amen. Every one of them was destroyed. Thank God when God fights the battle for you. Amen. The enemy turns on one another and brings about their own destruction. Amen. Hallelujah. But God's not done yet. Amen. God gives you victory. Man, now God's given you the victory. The battle's won. The battle is won. Now you've seen it come to pass. Now you've been an eyewitness to the hand of God and to the work of the Lord. Amen. But God still has something more for you. You say, but isn't that enough that God gives us victory? Isn't that enough that God fights the battle for us and gives us the victory? But no, God even goes so much farther than that. Amen. Because in verse 23, and when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both riches with the dead and dead bodies, and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves, more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days in gathering of the spoil. It was so much. Hallelujah. Amen. That God fought the battle, and then God blessed them. They profited from it by so much that it took them 3 days to spoil it all, and they could not even carry all of it away. Amen. Let me tell you, when you give it to God, amen, not only is God going to win the battle, but God's going to profit you. God's going to bless you. Amen. And God is going to do something wonderful in your life, and you're going to reap the benefits of surrendering it to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Verse 26. And on the fourth day, they assembled themselves in the valley of Baraka. For there they blessed the Lord. Therefore the name of the place was called the Valley of Baraka unto this day. If you look in your margin of your Bible, you'll see where that word Baraka means blessing. Hallelujah. What the enemy thought to make a valley of curse, amen, God made it a valley of blessing. Amen. When you go through your valley and the enemy thinks that they're going to make it a valley of pain, the enemy thinks it's going to be a valley called suffering. The enemy calls it a valley of stress. The enemy calls it a valley of problems and affliction. But when you surrender it to God, it becomes a valley of blessing. Hallelujah. Man, why not reap the benefits of giving it all to God? Amen. Letting the Lord do it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Verse 30, and I'm closing. So the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest round about. Hallelujah. You know what he said? Jehoshaphat's stress was gone. Amen. He had rest. Hallelujah. You know how it is when you are a problem and burdened in your heart? You go to bed, you can't get in that deep sleep. Wake up in the middle of the night worried, stressed, right? You pace the floor. You can't sleep. You'd rather be awake. I mean, that's just the way it is because you are so at your wit's end. Amen. But God wants to give you rest. And notice what he says. His God gave him rest. Thank God. Wouldn't it be nice just to have a little bit of rest? I'm not talking about a vacation. I'm not talking about a vacation. I'm talking about rest. Peace. Amen. Calm. To know that God has taken care of you. Hallelujah. The thing that you're dealing with right now, why don't you just commit it to the Lord? Why don't you do like the children of Israel? Come before the house of God. Come before His presence. And why don't you just tell the Lord, Lord, amen, I've got a problem. Lord, I don't know what to do. I don't have the ability. I don't have the strength. Lord, I don't know what to do. Surrender it to God. Commit it to the Lord. And let the Lord say, it's not your problem. Hallelujah. Are you worrying about something that's not your problem? Amen. It's not your problem. It's not your problem. Why are you stressed and worried about it? The battle is not yours, but God's. Amen. Would you stand with me? Hallelujah. The battle's not yours. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't know, maybe I'm the only one that worries about anything. But if you've got a problem, if there's something in your life that is causing you stress, is robbing you of your rest, if it's something that occupies your thoughts throughout the day, then the fact is that you need to turn it over to God and find rest. You cannot continue to burden yourself with the problem that you commit to the Lord. Amen. Don't be afraid. Hallelujah. Because you know God always, amen, God always has a way of working it out. You look at the Lord, He says, the battle's not yours, but God's. The problem's not yours, but God's. What's your problem tonight? What's your problem? Is your problem in a family situation that you don't have any control of? Well, the problem's not yours, it's God's. And does not God have control over every situation? Amen. And maybe it's you, you're worried about your future. Maybe you're worried about your finances. Maybe you're worried about your family. Whatever it is that's got you so worried right now. Amen. The battle's not yours, it's God's. You're worried about that? Let me tell you, God has it all in control. The all-powerful God is able to work in your life tonight. Hallelujah. Would you bow your head with us now? Dear Jesus, God, I ask you, Lord God, help us to surrender this to you tonight. God, help us to realize the battle's not ours, but it's yours. Lord, help us, God, realize, Lord Jesus, that this is all yours, Lord. God, that we don't need to fight. We don't need to struggle. But Lord God, we just need to commit it unto you, Lord. God, we just need to surrender it to you, Lord Jesus. God, and you are going to give us the victory. God, in you, Lord God, we're going to win the battle. And when it's all over, Lord God, we're going to reap the spoils. God, more than what we could ever imagine. God, I pray that you'd give somebody rest in their soul tonight. I pray in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Right now, I'm asking you at the start, how many of you have a problem? There's a number of hands that went up. Number of hands that went up. You've got a problem. But I want to ask you now, how many of you will lift your hand and say, I'm willing to commit my problem to the Lord?
Yes. Amen.
Amen. And not, it's not going to be my problem, but I'm going to give it to the Lord. Amen. Would you lift your hand and say, I'm not going to have, I'm going to give my problem to the Lord Jesus tonight.
Hallelujah.
I'm going to give it to God. I'm going to come to this altar. I'm going to commit this problem before the Lord. God, I'm going to ask for peace in my heart. Lord, I'm going to surrender it to you. I don't know what to do, but I do know, Lord God, I can count on you tonight. Amen. Church, let's come to this altar. Amen. Let's commit these problems to the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Stand still and let God move. Standing still.